All right. Well, I have two more stories I want to tell you, so I'm gonna go on. And both of these two stories are about two of the greatest Jewish mystics. And the first one is from the 16th century and is universally regarded as the greatest Jewish mystic of all time, and that is Rabbi Isaac Luria of Sfat. Sfat is the second holiest city in Israel in the north, and the first, of course, is Jerusalem. And Rabbi Isaac Luria is known as the Ari, and he was a real genius. You know, if you want to look and say, who are the great figures in Jewish history, of course you would take Abraham. He's the one who had the intuition that there was one God and made a covenant with God. Of course you would take Moses, who led the people out of Egyptian bondage, who received the Torah, who led them to the Holy Land. But you would also definitely want to include the Ari, who is the one who single-handedly created the notion of tikkun olam, of repair of the world, which is such a basic idea nowadays, which I think you could argue is the basis of the whole environmental movement. And he is the one who recreated the whole ritual of Kabbalat Shabbat based on a tiny little passage in the Talmud. And he is the one who created the myth of the shattering of the vessels and the gathering of the sparks. Maybe later in this week, if somebody asks me, I'll tell you about that. And it was out of his circle that came the hymn, Lecha Dodi. So you could see that this was a very important rabbi. And I'm going to tell you a story about the Ari. It's from the circle of stories about him. The story, I just want to give you a little background so that you'll be comfortable when we arrive at something strange in the story, especially the concept of the Shekhinah. And this, of course, is a very basic, elementary, Kabbalistic concept. And what it means is, what it refers to in Kabbalistic terms, is the bride of God. You say to me, the bride of God? Isn't this a monotheistic religion? How can God have a bride? Well, first of all, let me explain that in Kabbalah, there is the sense that God is everything, that God is everywhere. And therefore, God, if God is male, as God is often portrayed, God is also female. And therefore, God has a masculine aspect and a feminine aspect. And so, in Kabbalah, the Shekhinah is the name given to God's feminine aspect. And actually, this is a term that evolved. This is a term that was originally one of the names of God, going back to the rabbinic era, around the 5th century or so. And there it referred to simply God's, the sense of the sacred, the sense of God's presence in this world. But by the time that you got to the 13th century, which is the era that begins Kabbalah, of the Zohar, the central text of Jewish mysticism, this idea has evolved until now Shekhinah refers to the bride of God. And in the Zohar, you actually, you know, which consists of a whole variety of types of things, but many mythological type passages. You have a very famous myth called the Exile of the Shekhinah. And here what happens is the Shekhinah, whose home was the temple in Jerusalem, comes to God, confronts God, if you can imagine that. The Shekhinah confronts God and says, you know, how could you do this? How could you permit the temple to be destroyed? How could you permit my home to be lost like that? How could you let our children, the children of Israel, be sent into exile? And then she says, and I am leaving you. The Shekhinah is leaving God. And I am going to go with the children. And I am not going to come back to you until my home in Jerusalem is rebuilt. In other words, until the temple is rebuilt. And when will that take place? When the Messiah comes. Because the Messiah has three things that he has to do. And if you can do it, you can have the job. You have to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. Not so easy, because it happens to be the Dome of the Rock sitting right there. And secondly, you have to bring all of the Jews in the world to the Holy Land. This is called the ingathering of the exiles. And third, you have to resurrect all the righteous dead. Those are the three requirements. Not so easy. Not even the Lubavitcher Rebbe was not able to accomplish that. And so he couldn't officially declare that he was the Messiah. All right. So with that background, here is the story about the Ari. It's called A Vision at the Wailing Wall. Now the Ari had very great powers. He could look at a man's forehead and tell you the history of his soul. He could look at a stone in the wall and tell you whose soul was trapped inside it. He could overhear the angels, and he knew from the first of Rosh Hashanah who among his followers would live and who would not. In other words, he could read in the heavenly ledgers to see whose name was inscribed in the book of life and whose name was inscribed in the other book that the rabbis never liked to name. Now normally, he didn't reveal this information. But one year when he saw that there was a possibility of someone changing their fate, he called in Rabbi Abraham Beruchim, one of his oldest disciples, and he said, "Rabbi Abraham, I have very important news for you. I want you to know that I have learned that this may well be your last year among us." You can imagine Rabbi Abraham was staggered by this news. Then the Ari went on and said, "Unless you do what I ask you to do." Rabbi Abraham said, "Rabbi, whatever you want me to do, I'll do." And the Ari said, "Good." He said that "I want you to go home. And for 3 days and nights, I want you to mourn over yourself. I want you to say Kaddish over yourself. And then I want you to set out and go on a journey to Jerusalem, to the Kotel, the wall. And there I want you to pray to God with all your heart that you should have a vision of the Shekhinah. And if you have such a vision, then surely you will live another 22 years. But I'm sorry to tell you, if you do not, then this will be your last year among us." Rabbi Abraham said, "Rabbi, thank you so much for revealing this to me." And he went home and he put on sackcloth and ashes and he mourned for himself as if he had already died. And then he set out on a journey to Jerusalem, and he didn't go by donkey, and he didn't go by coach, and he could have. He was a wealthy man. But instead, he walked from Sfat all the way to Jerusalem, and that's a long walk, believe me. It's a long bus ride. And when he got to Jerusalem, he went directly to the wall. And because it was during the days of awe, there were hundreds of people gathered at the wall. It was all crowded. And he somehow managed to make his way in so that he was right against the wall. And he leaned his forehead against the wall. And he wept tears from the depths of his soul. And he begged God to please let him have a vision of the Shekhinah. And all at once it happened. Out of the wall came an old woman dressed in black, deep in mourning. And Rabbi Abraham took one look in her eyes and he saw a grief, the greatest grief he had ever seen. It was the grief of a mother who's just lost a child. It was the grief of Hannah after losing her 7 sons. It was the grief of the Shekhinah when her home on this world was destroyed and her children were sent into exile. And it was too much for him to bear and he fainted. When he fainted, he had a second vision. Only this time he saw the Shekhinah as a young bride. And she was wearing a gown of light. And she was smiling and light was radiating from her. And she embraced him and she kissed him. And she said, "Don't worry, my son Abraham. Your brothers and your sisters will one day return to their land. And as for you, there will be a great many more blessings." And he woke up. And when he woke up, He felt like the greatest weight in the world had been lifted from his shoulders. And he turned around and he went straight back to Spot. And he went straight to see the Ari. And the Ari took one look at him and he said, I can see by the aura surrounding your face that yes, you did have a vision of the Shekhinah. And now surely you will live another 22 years. And he did. So that's a story from the 15th century. It's from a book called Shivchei Ha'ari, in praise of the Ari, which was the first collection of stories about the Ari, which was put together from three long letters that were sent from Sfat to Eastern Europe, you know, describing the miracles attributed to the Ari. And then it was the first of many books that followed. All right, well, I think that, you know, I gave you enough information there at the beginning for you to have some sense about the power of the Ari. And I will tell you this, that sometimes when I work on the story with my students, I ask them a tough question. I say, is this a story about the Ari or is this a story about Abraham Berachim? And they immediately start to discuss it and or sometimes argue about it. And usually half of them say, oh, it's definitely a story about the Ari. And some half say, oh, no, it's a story about Rabbi Abraham Berachim. And I would say to you, well, yes, it's a story about Rabbi Abraham Berachim, but it's the Ari who reads of the heavenly ledger. It's the Ari who sends him on the quest. It's the Ari who tells him to die and then be reborn. He dies when he mourns for himself. And he's reborn at the wall. Do you see? It's the Ari who can recognize that he has come close to God, like Moses did on Mount Sinai when he received the Torah, so that the light shone from his face. And I have to tell you that despite the fact that this is an obviously Jewish story, right? Taking place during the days of awe, taking place between the second holiest city in the Holy Land and the first holiest city in the Holy Land, involving the Ari, nevertheless, it occurred to me that even though it's 500 years or so before Freud and Jung, that you could look at this story and say that the Ari functions in it as a kind of therapist. That the Ari knows Rabbi Abraham very well. He's one of his oldest disciples. And he sees that he's become dry. He sees that he's lost his zest for life. And the Ari understands if that happens, if a person loses their reason for living, they often lose their life. And so he sends him on a mission that his life depends upon. When your life depends on something, you tend to pay a little more attention. I'll tell you a story. A few years ago, I had to go in late December and fly to Aspen, Colorado, to drive home with my daughter, Shira, in her rickety Jeep. And the moment we hit Highway 70, it started snowing hard. And we had to go up a mountain. And I noticed that the car in front of us was right in front of us. And the car behind us was right behind us, so that we were going about 5 miles an hour and slipping backward. Then I noticed that off to the side there was a cliff, and there wasn't anything between me and the cliff. Then I noticed that I was paying very close attention. Okay, and that's how it is. So the Ari gets his attention. He pays very close attention, and because he must see the Shekhinah, he does see the Shekhinah.